The main text for this morning's our sermon is from John 4, verse 14. The main text is John 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. So far. Congregation, this morning it is about a Samaritan woman. And with the help of the Lord, I would like to point out three things. In the first place, drawn by Christ. You know, that woman was walking there, living there, close to Sychar, and the Lord Jesus drew her. He met with her, drawn by Christ, a very intense and special and warm way, drawn by Christ. Secondly, arrested by Christ. Because Lord Jesus said, thou come get your husband. And he arrested her. So it started drawing her, kind of kind and loving, and then arresting her, arrested by Christ. And in the third place, convinced by Christ. Convinced in the sense that she began to believe in him. So the Samaritan woman, drawn by Christ, arrested by Christ, and convinced by Christ. Congregation, John the Baptist was preaching, remember? The axe is in the hands of God. He is about to cut a tree. He was a sharp preacher, very lively and warm and loving, and people were drawn to him. Lots of people came to John the Baptist to be baptized. But then John the Baptist also saw Jesus coming, and he pointed to him, "Behold the Lamb of God," and things changed a little bit. Because John the Baptist had a smaller audience now. And the Lord Jesus, his followers increased, the amount increased. So many followed now Jesus instead of John the Baptist. And the Pharisees saw that. The Pharisees noticed that so many more are baptized now by the Lord Jesus, or actually by his disciples. And they got upset about that. And the Lord Jesus heard that. He heard that the Pharisees were talking about it, that he drew many more people. That's how chapter 4 starts. See that? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. That's surprising. You would expect it exactly the other way around. You'd expect the Lord Jesus saying, so many people are willing to listen to me, I stay here. I'm not leaving. I have a large congregation. In God's providence, people want to hear the voice of the Savior. So I'm not leaving. I'm not turning my back to them. But he does. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples, he left. That's typically the Lord Jesus. So often after performing miracles, he said, don't talk about it. Because the Lord Jesus did not want an uprising yet. Did not want to ruin things ahead of things. He wanted to go step after step, and go slow, so that he would not be crucified or killed or assassinated too early. No, he wanted to go his own way, his own schedule. So we see the Lord Jesus going from Judea back to Galilee, north. Come back to that. And then a little bit more north, I also see another person walking by herself. Children, young people, I see a woman at 12 o'clock about at night, at noon. Hot. It's very hot outside. And she walks by herself, and she has a jar on her head. It's amazing how they can do that, those women. They can just, even without holding it, they can just walk with something on their heads. It's an empty water jar. And she needs water. Because they did not have the opportunity to just open the tap at home. No, they had to haul water all the time, every day. But why is she alone? And why, when it is so hot? Why not in the early morning? Or a little later, when the sun is not so hot anymore? You know what? She apparently wants to be by herself. She does not want to mingle with other people because they look down on her. She knows that. She is not accepted in the society, even not of the Samaritans. The people in Sychar shun her. They don't talk to her. They turn their back to her. So that's why she goes by herself and at noon. So what's happening then? Why do they act that way? Well, she was a woman with a bad reputation. She had been married 5 times. And she was living together with another man right now. So even the Samaritans didn't like that. And they thought this was wrong. So I see her walking by herself there. And I cannot look into her heart, but I know something about her. I know that she's not happy. Her life, the changes, her divorces. She tried to make herself happy, but it didn't work. She is not satisfied. And she is still restless. And that's why she is still living together with someone, trying to find the happiness. And she is not happy. How do I know that? How can we? Someone living in sin without God cannot be happy. Impossible. You know, friends and neighbors and people not going to church and not caring about God and just living their own life, they cannot be happy. Vanity of vanities, it is all vanity. So she did not know God. Something? She did not know the true God. She was religious and believed in the 5 books of Moses like the Samaritans did, but she did not love that God of Israel. She was guilty. Not one sin had been forgiven. Not a sin against the 7th commandment was forgiven, and there's so many more sins. She was a lost woman without God in the world, in the bondage of sin, on the broad way to her everlasting destruction, under the wrath of God. And she is a social outcast. She's avoiding others. And others are avoiding her. So that's why she is here by herself. So I see the Lord Jesus leaving Judea, going north. Right? That's how he started. And I see this woman leaving Sychar, going to the well of water, to the Jacob's well, to how water, going back home, to her friend, her boyfriend. And then I see something remarkable in verse 4. He left Judea, departing again into Galilee, and he, the Lord Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. That's remarkable. The Lord Jesus had options. He could go over the Jordan and travel north, going back over the Jordan and go to Galilee. He could have gone along the coast. But no, he goes straight from Judea to Galilee over Samaria. He must go there. So what's meant by that? You know, when you travel to Vancouver, you have to go over Abbotsford, right? No, you don't. You can also go to Harrison and take the highway and go to Mission and just avoid Abbotsford completely. And so the Lord Jesus could have avoided Samaria, the Samaritan area, completely. But he must needs go through Samaria. What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus did not feel forced. No, that's not what it means. He feels forced. I have to go there. They told me to. No, but it was a necessity and was a plan. Was a plan from eternity, because this woman was a woman under the curse and a child of wrath, but she was chosen. She was chosen from eternity, and God had a plan to save her sometime, to save her a certain way, and this was the time planned in the book from eternity. So the Lord Jesus wanted to do what his Father desired, wanted to please him, and he himself also had a great desire. This was the time. Now it's going to happen. Now there will be the hour of God's good pleasure. He must needs go through Samaria. It was such a heartfelt desire, a longing in the heart of Jesus to convert this person. He loved her soul. He loved her from eternity. You know, talking about that must needs go, I see that also in different places. For example, Matthew 16, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and be raised. He told his disciples how that he must go. See that necessity. Or Matthew 24, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The signs of the end times, they are coming, and those things must happen. And the gospel must be preached and must be published first among all nations. It must be, there's a necessity, there's no way around it. So the Lord Jesus planned to meet with her, because this woman would not be first. This woman would not go to Jesus herself. This woman would not repent ever. This woman was yet loved from eternity, but dead in sins, and resisting with all her might, and not willing to repent and to believe in the Savior at all. But despite her state of death and unwillingness, the Lord Jesus was going there. And when he came to that well, he asked the disciples to leave. They had to go buy meat in town. See, he was by himself on purpose. Because he wanted to talk to her, just personal, with nobody else there. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, hot day, nobody there. Even the disciples had left. And so Jesus is sitting there. He's coming. Or what should have transpired in the heart of Jesus? He started coming. One of his beloved ones from eternity. And yet innocent yet. It's the work of God, right? And Lord Jesus begins in such a kind way. First connecting to her, not to chase her away. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the journey, he probably had traveled for hours and hours, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So they started counting from 6 o'clock in the morning, that is 1 o'clock. So 6 plus 6 is 12 o'clock. 6 o'clock is 12 o'clock, the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. There she is. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. That's strange. You know, when the rabbi talked to a woman in public, there was something they frowned on. He should not even have talked to her and just have left. The woman coming for water, Lord Jesus should have left, they thought. Just don't get close. No, he didn't do that. He did not leave. He said, give me to drink. Just to, we say, break the ice. To open it up. To show her friendliness. To show her that she can talk to him. And she was surprised. The disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Remember who the Samaritans were? They were looked down upon as half-breeds. They were not really Jewish. They had Jewish blood, but it was mixed with the blood of the Assyrians. Because in 722... before Christ, of course, the Samaritans, the city of Samaria was conquered by the Assyrians. And they only left a few poor people in the land, and the rest they took away to Assyria. Never came back. And many others immigrated from Assyria to the north of Israel. So in the north of Israel, you had poor Jewish people and lots of immigrants, and they mingled. And they intermarried. And they still believed in the five books of Moses, but nothing else, and they had their own temple on Gerizim. And it was kind of a different religion as well. And the Jewish people looked down on them, because they were not purebred. They were not Jewish enough. And they had a different religion. So for that reason, they never talked to each other. They avoided one another. And now this Jewish man at the water well wants to talk to her. Do you want to talk to me? I'm a woman of Samaria. I don't understand that. That never happens. We always avoid each other. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, in imaging brackets, you see that. That's typically the Lord Jesus. He goes always that unexpected way. He is looking for people that are shunned and not accepted, and in the lower classes, and sinners, and publicans, and Samaritans, and you see that's the Lord's work, to just be first and to show mercy. So Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So the Lord Jesus just stirring it up a little bit. If you would know the gift of God, if you would know who I am talking to you, you would have asked living water, and he would have given it. So the Lord Jesus, kind of prying and working on her heart, if you would know the gift of God, he is the gift. He is that gift, and he has lots to give. Oh, woman, if you would know the gift of God, but you don't know it. But if you would know the gift of God, and if you would have realized who I am, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have given, you would have asked him, and he would have given you. So the Lord Jesus is implying something. He's implying that nothing satisfies, that no water satisfies. It never quenches your thirst. You need living water. And she did not understand that. But Lord Jesus meant it the way it was explained also later in John 7. I will point unto it later. Lord Jesus wanted to say, nothing in this life satisfies. Nothing quenches your thirst. Whatever you do, wherever you go, you will still feel dissatisfied. And the things of this life cannot possibly give you enough. So the fisher of men, Lord Jesus, is using that hook to draw her in. Because she went from one man to the other, trying to find water and to quench her thirst. And it's not there. And that's also a message to us today, for young people and others. We are looking for something. We are looking for happiness. I see that. We are looking for satisfaction, to have your heart filled up to the brim. I can see that. It's not going to work. This world will not be able to fill you up. You need living water. And if you would understand the gift of God, what conversion is, and who God is, and what salvation is, and who the Lord Jesus is, you would have asked him that water. Say, give me that water, and he would have given it to you. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee. See that? If by nature we don't even want it, But if by God's grace you desire it, you ask for it, you will be allowed. He will give it to you. He would have given thee living water. So this speaks about the willingness of God to give living water to whosoever it is. Because in verse 14 we say, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, look at John 7. John 7, verse 37. Verse 37. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, any man, let him come unto me and drink. What is that drinking? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not given yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. See that? So the Lord Jesus on that last day of the feast also saw people with water. And he said, if anyone thirst, then come to me. To believe in him. So that's how he drew her. By just letting her know there's living water. And congregation, let's go to the second thought. That she was arrested. Of course, she didn't understand this. Living water. The woman said unto him in verse 15, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Do you understand verse 15? Give me this water, so I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she understood that that water was special. Special water. It would quench your thirst forever. But she still thought that you could drink it with your mouth. So, could she drink that living water here then, so that she did not have to come back anymore? So the Lord Jesus was working on her and drawing her in. But she was at a gate and she was not in yet. So then the Lord Jesus shot his arrow. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus looked at her and responded. What did he say? Did he just explain it? Explain what living water was and how that she needs to believe in him? No. Lord Jesus went to the bottom of it. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come back. Come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, because he knew, thou hast well said, I have no husband. That's correct. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. So the Lord Jesus confronted her with her sinful condition. He told her who she was. He did not avoid that. He did not say, well, let me just be nice to you then. Just drink water. Just believe in Jesus and you're fine. There's comfort. And no, he was going to the bottom of it. He did not step over sin. He did not ignore sin. He wanted her to know that he knew. He wanted to open the wound. He had a desire to let her feel the need. She had to realize that. Because there's a danger that people need Jesus for their emergencies. That people need Jesus to not feel so lonely. That people need Jesus to have some comfort. That people need Jesus to get better, to get a job, to get a partner, to have things going better in their life. But the Lord Jesus wants to go to the bottom because he wants to give something else that people don't long for. The Lord Jesus wants to give some things he's not longing for. Forgiveness. He wants her to crave forgiveness and reconciliation. Because the Lord does not want to waste his time and to waste his grace. And that people just take for granted that they are saved. And that it goes automatically. And that it is obvious that God is love. No. That may not be obvious. The Lord wanted her to experience a miracle. Something so, such a wonder. So that's why he just opened her conscience and spoke about those things. And just was so plain with her. So also this morning, the Lord knows us as well. He knew this woman. The Lord Jesus just told her, I know everything about you. Younger ones, older ones, elderly. Still, he knows everything of us. He knows that we, let me just give a few examples. He knows that we cannot forgive. He knows that we are unfaithful in our marriage. He knows that. He knows that you're watching pornography. He knows it. He has seen that. How often? Maybe not that often. Maybe once a week. But that is often. And that's even one time is too many. He knows it. He knows your greed. He knows your rebellion. He knows it. He knows how prayerless you are. You don't pray. He knows your very heart. He knows your stubbornness. He knows your worldliness. He knows your godliness. Ungodliness. So the Lord Jesus pointed to her, like Nathan the prophet pointed to David. Thou art the man. So the Lord is pointing to us this morning. You are that woman. I know you. You are that man. I know you. I exactly know. I know everything about you. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, arresting her. And unto the church of Sardis, write these things, saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast a name, thou livest, and art dead. And also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. That for every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's the same God. He has not changed. Or think of 2 Chronicles 33 about Manasseh, King Manasseh. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He was arrested. And also like Romans 4:17, the last part. As it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So they did not exist. He calls them and they appear. So that's also with this woman. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. How did she respond? The Lord arrested her. What did he say? Yeah, but they're all creeps and they're all difficult. And she started defending herself. No. She did not get angry. She did not get defensive. She did not turn the tables. She did not say, well, what about you? Who do you think you are? Nothing like that. But I think she tried to change the subject. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she started to talk about the differences between the religions. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. The salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So she did not immediately admit, but she kind of knew. He knows it. He knows me. He's a prophet. What about prayer? I need to pray. Do I pray in Samaria? Do I pray in Gerizim? Do I pray in Jerusalem? Lord, I need to pray. What do I pray? And where do I pray? And Lord Jesus said, it doesn't matter where. The time to pray is now. The hour cometh and now is. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. In spirit, meaning in a spiritual sense, with the heart, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and in truth, to seek the God of the Bible, the true God, not just the God of your fantasy. You know, some people call themselves Christians, and they say they believe in the Bible, and they say they believe in God, but they have taken certain things out of the Bible. You know, like hell and predestination or other things, and they just, the offer of grace, they just take it out of the Bible. But the Lord wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And that's not something the Lord rewards. It's not so that we have to earn salvation by our prayers, by our seeking Him earnestly, but yet it's necessary, right? It needs to be in spirit and in truth, a true prayer. The Lord answers true prayers. You say, well, that's the problem. I can't pray myself in spirit and in truth. I know. So should we drop that then? We say, you don't have to pray in spirit and truth. You just come without that. Just where you are. Is this a conditional gospel? So you have to pray from the heart, and then the Lord will hear. And if you don't pray from the heart, then it's something the Lord won't care for. Well, necessary. It's necessary to pray in spirit and in truth. But not necessary in the sense that you give yourself a good mark for that. You say, well, I think I can pray well. I can pray myself in spirit and in truth. Because God's people, the one that pray in spirit and in truth, they feel so humble. They can pray. They say, I can pray. And yet there's such a need for Jesus in their heart. Such a need for the Savior. But they can't pray. But why do you have such a need for that Savior then? I just can't live without Him. My sins need to be forgiven. See, that's exactly what in spirit and in truth means. That you cannot continue this way. That you're lost. That you're unconverted. You cannot help yourself. That you're blind. That you're empty. That you're a beggar. As soon as you think you can pray, and you have something to present to the Lord, it's not in spirit and in truth anymore. So what a wonder. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And it will go forth from the belly, right? So what it means is if the Lord blesses that like he did to this woman, it's so overwhelming. She needs to involve others. She cannot be quiet about it anymore. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, verse 25, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Brings the last thought. First we sing. The third thought is convinced. Congregation, we don't read plainly that this woman was saved, that she professed something. We don't read that. But when you read in between the lines, you kind of, it's obvious. You know, there are people also today, God's people, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and don't tell anyone. They tell others about Christ, but not about self. So this woman already professed before in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she knew about the Messiah would come and he would reveal things and tell all things. So she had already an idea of him. And now it was very clear also what the Lord Jesus said this time. It's me. I that speak unto thee am he. Combine that to what we read a little further. In verse 39 and following, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come unto him, they besought him that he would stay with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more. Many more believed. See that in verse 41? More? Well, she believed in him. And now many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ. She told them, this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not only the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of the Gentiles as well. So that makes it very clear that this woman believed he was Christ. She believed on him. That's clear. And she knew that he was the Savior. The Messiah. The Savior of the world was a wonder to her. And that's why she testified of him. So at this time, Jesus revealed himself to her. It was him. So the Holy Spirit applied the word. And she knew that all things are in him. She knew there was salvation in this Christ. Remember that example? I've used it before. Of someone who was asked, are you a sheep of the shepherd? And he said, if I'm a sheep, I don't know. I don't dare to say I am. But I'm following that shepherd. That shepherd is my life. That shepherd is my salvation. I don't have anything, but he has all things. I'm following him. I don't feel a sheep, but I see the shepherd. And that's true for many of God's people. They don't feel a child of God, a sheep. I feel really a sheep. If they feel a sheep, they feel a stubborn sheep. But to seek salvation in him. You know, Alexander Comrie, one of our faithful forefathers, said, highly esteeming Christ is the best mark of salvation. You know, it is so clear from this chapter that she was a true believer, that Lord Jesus must go through Samaria, and he drew her in such a nice, kind way out of the darkness. He arrested her so plainly and openly, but he also told her that he has living water and that sinners may come to drink of that. When they come in spirit and in truth, they will. I compare her to that woman with the issue of blood. You know, she heard about Jesus coming to the city And she felt so unclean, so unworthy. And she yet wanted to touch the hem of the garment. So she went, kind of secretly, kind of sneaky, in between the people, and touched the hem of the garment. Because she said, if I only touch the hem of the garment, I will be whole. She knew that. She knew that is salvation and help and all things in him. Not in me, in him. And then later, the Lord Jesus asked, who has touched me? And the disciples said, well, they all touched thee. What a question. No, Lord Jesus said, someone has touched me on purpose. And she came, kind of crying and humble. And the Lord Jesus spoke to her, great is thy faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. And now she was told that she is a believer. So you have to distinguish between two types of certainty, of assurance. Are you sure of yourself or sure of him? And this woman was so sure of him, not so much of herself. That is better than the other way around, right? The people are so sure of self, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to heaven, I'm saved, but are not so sure of Christ. They don't even know him. So we need that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In that only prophet and priest. Because she knew now that he was the Messiah. And she knew what Messiah meant. He was the Christ. He was anointed. He was the prophet, the priest, the king. And she entrusted her salvation, her life, unto him. Come. See a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Verse 29. I know it for sure. This is the Christ. Then they went out of the city and came unto him because she insisted he is the Christ. She believed in him. And for the world of him, he was the real one. And she trusted him. Congregation, have you been arrested? Certain sins, the Lord often begins with a certain sin. Where is your husband? And then the Lord shows you after that actually much more. You're born in sin in order to let you seek salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what you don't have, holiness, righteousness, he has. And whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, this life does not satisfy. This water does not quench your thirst. But drinking of that water is living water. It tastes so good. It leaves something behind. It is something that stays. It's something that the Lord continues in your life as something that you're willing to share with others. It's obvious. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat, he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that's the same Jesus. He continues. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's why I must go through Samaria and to finish his work. And so the Lord will finish his work to the glory of his name. Amen.